Well, 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 look at you here listening to my podcast, you dirty dog. Welcome to On Impulse. My name is Paige. I'll be hosting this darn thing tonight. Okay, so today I've got a few agendas and I'm gonna just lay them out for you. I want to talk about some emotional intelligence, how to achieve it. Want to talk about my sobriety. I'm starting a sobriety series, and kind of going through the 12 steps and like what that looks like for me. And then kind of breaking down what that step means, what I've come to understand it to mean, and like what it means for me personally. And maybe throwing in like a funny story here or there about like before I was sober. And then I guess I'm just giving you like the whole fucking break, the whole blueprint of this, podcast today. And then I kind of lastly want to touch on being a powerful manifester in your life. So let's start. I think the best way to start is like with my sobriety. So I want to come clean. And it's not that like if you knew me in person, I don't hide this about myself whatsoever, but I feel like social media can give you like a certain idea. And I just kind of want to be clear on where I'm at. So I've been sober from opiates for 6 years this year in May. However, I do still smoke weed. I stopped, and also occasionally have like a beer. I tried to drink liquor for a while and it just like was not fucking doing it for me. So then I was like, I'm cool with like one glass of wine or like a beer. I've never been a big drinker, even when I was in active addiction. Like drinking just was, I got the hiccups. Drinking was just not my thing to begin with. Like, it just gives me fucking diarrhea. Like, I'm feeling sore and inflamed the next fucking day. I can't, like, do my routines. Like, I don't like it really that much. And I don't really like the way that it makes me feel. I don't like blacking out. So it was never really my thing anyway. So continuing to drink after being sober from drugs really wasn't an issue for me, because I'd have, like, 2 drinks a month, genuinely. And it still is that way. Like, drinking's really not a problem for me. What has been the problem is the smoking. I have stopped for years at a time smoking weed, but then I just inevitably pick it back up. And it's just, that one's such a tricky one for me, honestly, because I have a lot of health conditions and weed like makes me feel better. I normally smoke before I work out or I do like a dance class or I do something creative. Like, it's usually always like when I'm moving, I don't tend to smoke like, oh, I had a bad day, I'm gonna go smoke a bowl. Like, I don't like to use it for that outlet because I don't want to have to depend on it when I'm in an upset mood or when I'm happy. Like, oh, I want to celebrate, like, let me get high. Like, I want to be able to enjoy these things without that substance. But I feel like sometimes it still gets to that point where eventually it might take me a lot longer, months even, before I start like feeling that way. But I eventually do start feeling like, oh, fuck, today was a long day at work. I'm just going to smoke a fucking bowl and go to bed. And part of it could definitely be like me overthinking it. But I also trust like my gut, and I know that like it just isn't something I think I should be doing, no matter like health benefit wise how it helps me. I want to try and find like a different alternative, because I had this like strong gut feeling that I should stop, and I just, you know, I really couldn't. And I don't care what anyone says, like, weed is a drug. Like, I get withdrawals, and I know so many people that get withdrawals, so don't even start with me. But I get withdrawals from weed where I'm fucking have the night sweats and like my appetite's kind of off for like the next 2 weeks, and just my stomach hurts, and like I just like don't feel right within my body for like a few weeks. So you can't tell me weed's not a drug, first of all. And then second of all, I don't feel like I'm feeling just dependent on it. I'm dealing with a lot of life things, like, I, you know, we all go through. And I don't want to have to come home and, like, smoke a bowl and forget about my problems. Like, I want to be productive, in my thinking and productive, like, in my sobriety. So I really couldn't stop. Like, I just was in a rut and I kept coming home and smoking and, like, I was stuck in a pattern. And I really, like, I asked the universe, like, I prayed in, like, my version, right? And I was just like, I don't know, like, I want to stop, but I just feel like I can't. And I ended up in the ER for heart problems. So I've been going to see a cardiologist and I'm dealing with all of that. And I'm very honest with my doctors, because if you're not honest with your doctors, they can't fucking help you out properly. So she asked me if I did any drugs and drank. I was like, no, I do smoke weed a little bit. And I'm not exaggerating or toning it down, whatever. I do generally smoke like a little bit, like maybe half a bowl a day before I work out. So it's really not that big of a deal. You get what I'm saying. I need to stop regardless. It's just the addict in me. Like, oh, I could just do a little bit. Like, it's fine. Like, I know it's not suiting me anymore, so I need to stop. And she was like, okay, well, we need to do, like, a lot of extensive testing and stuff. Like, for right now, I really think you should stop smoking weed. And I was like, okay, damn. Like, thank you, universe. Like, I fucking asked for it. Here it is. So that's where I'm at right now. I just had a friend of mine, he picked me up and took me to an AA meeting last week, and that was really good, actually. I felt a lot better being in that space, and it's not even just about, like, the fact that I'm around, like, other addicts, and I feel very accepted and non-judged. It's just that, like, I'm around a bunch of people that want to do better. Like, they're trying to do better, even if, like, they're still fucking drinking and they just relapsed 2 days ago. Like, whatever the fucking story is, like, they're still there and they're fucking trying. And I like being around people that want to be better. It's inspiring. And I think it's really important for just our growth in general to be around people that want the best for themselves, because that makes you want the best for yourself. Like, if they're doing it, so can I. On being a powerful manifester. So, manifesting, what does that mean? Like, you want something, you ask for it, and you fucking get it, right? Sometimes I feel like I've been so closed off to how I'm getting things. I get so stuck in, like, what is happening now that I don't see, like, oh, what I asked for a while ago is beginning to happen. I'm just so overwhelmed at how it's happening that I'm not allowing it to just unfold how it needs to. I'm, like, clinging to what I have right now, so worried that if I lose this thing right now, that I'm not gonna have better later. And, like, who the fuck said that? So, for example, my car just died on me. Like, my engine's kaput. Like, she's done. And this is my little Beamer. I'm obsessed with my car. I love my car. It's been, like, a really big ego thing for me, a really big just pride thing. I feel good in it. She's got the heated seats, the mocha leather. Like, she's been my baby, and I have so many memories of her in these past 5 years, and I'm sad to lose my car, and I've been so distraught over, like, I still owe on this car, so I'm gonna need to get, like, a cheap cash car for right now until I figure all this shit out. I can't just go, and my credit, we're working on our credit. I told y'all I was in credit card debt, okay? We're getting out of it. We're moving forward. But at this moment, yeah, we need to do a cheap cash car, okay? I'll have what I want later, and I have no doubt in that. But right now, we need to do what's best. And I was sitting here, like, really upset, like, watching my car get fucking towed. And I'm just like, I love my car. Like, this makes me feel like I'm going backwards. Like, I'm not progressing, because I'm losing my Beamer. I'm losing that thing that I felt like I really deserved and I worked hard for. And just, it felt like a part of me. And I'm like, does this mean I'm unworthy? This mean, like, what's going on? I should have took care of things sooner. Or, you know, you start playing, like, all these scenarios. And I came home, I was like, I'm just gonna do some yoga. Like, I'm gonna kind of, like, tune into myself. And I realized, like, I just said, I've been asking for a while now to not have a car payment. I don't want to have a car payment. I want to save money every month not having to pay this car bill. I've been asking for that. I've been saying I want to get rid of my car. I want to pay off my car. I've been saying I don't want to owe on this car anymore. And what did the universe do? It said, oh, you don't want to owe on this car anymore? And I've been struggling, like, sitting here, like, how am I going to come up with the money to get all of this paid off? I really want it paid off this year. I don't want to have to deal with it next year. Like, I want to be putting my money towards other things, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, I don't want to get a second job. I'm tired of doing that. I feel like there has to be a different way, different, like, opportunities. And I couldn't come up with one. And this past week and a half, I was thinking, like, I'm just going to stop looking up jobs on Indeed. I'm going to stop trying to force myself to find this money that's just not coming out of anywhere. I'm just going to stop because I'm stressing myself out and it's not getting me anywhere. Like, sitting here obsessing over how I'm going to figure things out is not going to make me figure things out any sooner. I can break out the whiteboard and start drawing plans and writing down how much money I need and breaking down budgets. I can start doing all these things, and like, while some of those things may be helpful and it's great to get like your thoughts out of your head and sometimes on paper, it's not going to solve your problems no matter how many times you write it out, right? So I said, I'm just going to give it over to the universe, whatever. I'm just not even that spiritual about it. I'm just gonna fucking give it over. Like, I know that things always work out for me. Like, whatever. I have a car right now. Like, it's no fucking big deal. And then literally after I decided I'm gonna start going to AA, and I started doing that. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped, you know, indulging in behaviors that just didn't suit me. And like, the universe said, okay, like, you clearly want this. You believe you're gonna have what you want. Like, here it is then. Like, you asked for it, here it is. So now my car's broken down, and guess what? Like, I'm gonna have to salvage it, which is gonna pay it off. Like, just gonna get rid of it. And then I'm gonna buy a cash car. I won't have a car payment anymore. That's what I asked for, right? I asked for no car payment. Here we are. You gotta realize, like, how much power you hold in your thoughts, how much power you hold in the emotion you put behind those thoughts. That's the real trick. You could think, like, oh, I really want to live in Jamaica. But, like, if you don't imagine how good it's gonna feel, like, it's gonna feel so good for me to live in Jamaica. Like, this is what I'm gonna do, and this is how good it's gonna make me feel. And, like, this is so amazing that I know this is gonna happen for me one day. Like, really feel what it would be like to live on that fucking beach, right? And then it's gonna happen. Just let go of how you're gonna get there. Just focus on the fact that, oh, it's gonna feel so good when I get there. And it'll happen. And it might not happen tomorrow, but it just might. You never fucking know. You don't know what you're closing yourself off to when you're so busy focused on how you're gonna get there. I wish that sounded smoother, but, like, whatever. And let's talk about how all of this kind of ties into working the first step in sobriety. I'm gonna read it to you. Hold on, I'm Googling it. I should have it memorized for sure. We admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That's the step. I'm reworking the steps. I have worked them before, but I am reworking them, and I'm looking to get, like, a sponsor, and really dive a little deeper into this. While a long time ago I admitted that, like, I had a problem with my drug usage and many other addictions, like, just, you know, a lot of times, addicts specifically, but we all do this, like, we give up one thing and replace it with another. We give up, like, a toxic relationship and replace it with drinking all the time. or like we, I can't come up with any other examples. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, for so long, I thought that it was enough for me to just say, like, oh, like, yeah, like, I've got a problem with Oxy. That should make me feel great. Like, I admitted to my wrongdoings and, like, all of these things. But still, here I am to this day, 6 years later, trying so hard to be in control of everything. I'm trying to control myself from not using, trying to control myself from fucking up my life and not making a wrong decision, that I'm not making any decisions. And I'm so convinced, like, I am a scientific girly. I have studied neuroscience. Like, I know that we are in control, like, of our thoughts. Like, our thoughts are not us, right? They don't define us. They're just things that come up, and the emotion that we attach to them, that even that doesn't define us. We're not our emotions, we're not our thoughts, we're not even this physical body. Like, there's so much more to us. So I was so focused on, like, I'm in control. I'm in control of my drug usage. I'm in control of my habits. Like, and I've been so focused trying to hold this fucking grip that I'm in control, that really I'm not. I'm really not in control of anything. Everything's falling apart. So it's like, you're just keep putting a band-aid on things. Like, I'm fine, but I'm not actually dealing with the fact that I'm not fine. I'm just saying I'm fine and hoping that's enough. So I've really been thinking about what that means to me, to admit that I am powerless. And not just over alcohol and drugs, but just in general, like, I am powerless of what happens to me in my life. I am in control of my reaction, but I am powerless of what it is. Like, I'm powerless that my car went out. I'm powerless that, I don't know, I can't think of any, that my health isn't in great conditions at the moment. I'm powerless over the fact that, like, I'm not living on the beach like I would like to right now. I'm powerless over a lot of things in my life. I cannot control what is going to happen to me next. But I can control how I handle it. I can control how I want to feel about it. I may initially feel something different, but I can decide, you know what, I'm going to look at it differently. I would rather feel this way about the situation. Like me saying, you know what, I asked the universe for no car payment, here it is. I feel so much better realizing that I'm getting what I'm asking for. So, like, how do I want to feel about this situation, right? I can change my reaction, but I cannot change what is happening to me. And that's where the emotional intelligence comes in. When we stop repressing our emotions and constantly telling ourselves, this is too much, I can't handle it, I don't want to deal with it, I don't want to feel it, like, repress. Instead of just seeing it for what it is and allowing myself to accept this emotion, like, right now I'm feeling overwhelmed, right now I'm feeling upset, right now I'm feeling fucking angry as shit, right? When I'm able to embrace those emotions, I'm then able to navigate through my life with more openness and understanding of not just life in itself, but of myself. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. I have more understanding of myself. Like, when I observe my emotion, like, I'm feeling angry right now. Like, what is it that I'm feeling angry about? Like, why is this coming up for me right now? What in this situation can I do? Can I do anything? No. Okay, well, how would I rather be feeling about this? Well, do I want to be angry as fuck right now? Do I really want to feel anger? No. I don't ever want to feel anger, right? I don't ever want to feel sadness. I don't want to feel grief. I don't want to feel distraught. I don't want to feel these things. But when you allow yourself to, then you can understand, like, why am I feeling these things? Where is this coming from? I know I'm repeating myself, but you really need to, like, look at your emotions like a GPS. Like, it's trying to lead you to yourself. It's trying to teach you, like, hey, when situations like this arise, like, you have these kinds of emotions that come up, and you can now take action as to whether, like, this is what you want to continue coming up for you. You can practice feeling differently. And in the future, you will feel more calm. You'll feel less insecure. You'll feel just more certain in yourself and your actions because you know what you did was intentional. Because you, when you start feeling your emotions, you start tapping into like, what isn't working for me? What is working for me? Let me lead with my gut, right? And when we lead with our gut, we're then able to make more impactful actions in our life. So I'm able to make better choices knowing that, you know, I'm genuinely doing what's best for me with the knowledge that I have right now. And I know that however this turns out, whether this goes right or it ends up just not working out, I know that in any scenario, it's always working out for me. If it doesn't work out, great. That just wasn't meant for me. I love being able to know that that's not going to be an option for me anymore. That doesn't satisfy me. I'd like to move on to something else. So now I can move on. That's awesome. Or if it does work out, it's like, I'm really great that I made this choice and I took this step. And how cool is it that all I had to do was take action. And here I am doing something I really love or with a person I really enjoy being around or, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at in my head right now. Let me tell you a little funny story. So one of the times, I was actually telling this to someone recently. This was the time right before I got sober. So there was like one more incident that happened and then I got sober. So I went to jail. And you would think like, oh, she went to jail. Like that had to have made her be like, okay, no more drugs. No, that was not enough. Unfortunately, I had been 3 months sober from taking like any Xanax and any Oxy. And I had this migraine from Satan. And if you know me, I have like migraines every week. Like they're really bad. Like my vision's fucking off. Like I'm throwing up. I can't eat. Like, it literally, I think about like shooting myself in the fucking head. Sometimes they get that bad. I won't do it. I'm just saying like, it feels that intense for me. It's in my fucking teeth. It's in my eyes. Like it feels like my bones are iron rods. Like it's fucking killer. And I had to work a double the next day. And I was like, fuck this. Like I'm gonna go get some weed. I'm gonna go get some Xanax. I'm just gonna get one. I'm gonna take one so I can go to sleep and be able to work this double tomorrow. So I go, fuck, like 4 blocks up the road, right? Whatever, maybe like half a mile up the road. And I go to my plug. I buy the pill. I take the Xanax. And he had a blunt and he was like, I already rolled this. Like, do you want to smoke? So then I smoked in the car with him. Fucking don't remember a thing after that. Don't remember the rest of my fucking, like, 2 days. So apparently, he offered to give me, like, another 2 free Xanax to just, like, literally go up to the gas station. So I did that. Took them right there. I ended up taking, like, 12 bars that night. What the fuck? When I got out of jail, I texted him. I was like, what the fuck happened, dude? He was like, I don't know. You just kept saying, like, you wanted more. So, like, I gave you more. And I'm like, why? Like, why? But, like, whatever. I'm sure I'm persuasive. So, ended up taking 12 Xanax, and I had smoked. Did a whole bunch of shit that night that I do not recall. Woke up in jail. No memory of getting there. And I don't understand why. I woke up, like, I was still fucked up. And I just, like, looked through the door, didn't see anyone, got on bed, was so out of it, wasn't even concerned that I was in jail, was just really confused. And then I started doing sit-ups. I don't know, like, I guess I just thought, like, oh, like, if the cops walked by the window, I don't want them to think that, like, I'm a lazy piece of shit, that I just, like, go to jail all the time. Like, no, like, I'm really fit and I take care of myself. I don't fucking know. I swear that's what went through my mind. So I started doing sit-ups. And then all of a sudden, I was like, why am I doing sit-ups? And I got really confused. And I was like, I'm tired. So then I just fucking knocked back out for I don't know how long. I believe this was like 2 days. Finally woke up. What's so embarrassing is I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings in town. So I knew a lot of the cops because they would all come in for like lunch. And there's like a knock on the door, and I like sit up out of bed. I'm like confused because I realize I wasn't wearing the clothes that I remember putting on that night. And who opens the door? This cop I know, Thetford. And did I don't think I needed to say his name. This cop I knew. He was like, Courtney. That's my first name, if y'all aren't caught up. He's like, what the fuck? Like, what happened? I was like, dude, I was hoping you would tell me because I have no clue. He's like, you literally don't remember anything. I was like, yeah, no. So he took me in to like a different room and was like questioning me. I think I got to eat like half of a frozen TV dinner. And I was like, don't I get a call? He's like, you called your mom like 2 days ago. I was like, what? Was she mad? Like, I don't know. He was like, yeah, well, we found you 3 a.m. crashed in the bushes in a bank. And someone at the CVS across the street, like, noticed and, like, called us. And then, like, we had to, like, break into the car because you were passed out and you had the heater on full blast and you were just, like, covered in sweat. And I was like, Guys, I was literally, like, 0.1 miles from my house. So I was supposed to take, like, a left turn. And then I'd be just drive a little bit and I'd be home. But instead of taking that left turn, I just drove fucking straight into a bank. So, yeah. So I thought, okay, like, he's done asking me these questions. Bada bing, bada boom. Time to get out of here. I'm awake. He was like, yeah, no, we're transferring you to county. I was like, excuse me? I'm not a criminal. He's like, no, we found pills in your car and, like, weed. And I had, like, I think 2 pipes in my car. And a grinder. And apparently Taco Bell, like, smeared all over the floor. Don't remember getting that. So, I was like, oh, this is interesting. So, they put me in cuffs and then put me in the back of the car. And embarrassing, there was, like, a cop. And then, like, I don't know what they're called. Like, a junior, what are they fucking called? People that just, like, are part of little programs to learn how to be a cop or, like, they're just tagging along for the experience. It was one of these, like, dorky fucking dudes I went to high school with. And I was like, you're joking, right? Like, I'm pretty sure he remembered me, but probably maybe not. I was just fucked up. I was like, well, this is fucking embarrassing. The ride over there was pretty chill, actually. We're kind of cutting it up a little bit. Intake. There's all these big dyke-ass bitches looking at me. I'm nervous. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I go that way, but I don't think I go that way in jail. Like, I was nervous. I'm in, like, the little nurse area. They're, like, doing a little intake eval. Had to spread my cheeks and everything. Didn't even give me shoes. Disgusting. And then just had to wear, like, no underwear and some just, like, regular, I don't know, like, dirty scrubs, basically. The nurse was asking me these questions, and she was like, are you suicidal? I was like, no, I'm chill. Like, I'm good. And then she's like, do you have any hope for the future? And I had to have still been fucked up, because I was like, I'm in fucking jail right now. Are you serious? And she did not like that answer. She did not like that answer at all. So I got put in psych because I guess that was considered me saying, like, I was going to kill myself because I didn't have hope for the future. Psych in jail was not slay. It was not a fun time. You know those heavy, like, cold-ass x-ray pads they put on you before you go get an x-ray? So I was completely naked, with, like, a heavy x-ray pad over me. In a cement room that was, like, I swear to God, 30 degrees. I could see why people go fucking crazy in there. Then I was like, I need to shit. And the officer just pointed at the grate in the floor. It was, like, a little hole in the floor with a grate over it. She's like, you go there. How do you want me to shit in that? The shit is just going to sit on top of the grate. I'm just going to be shitting and sitting here in this little cement room. That's freezing with my shit just sitting on the floor. You're fucking joking, right? So I had to hold my shit. I wasn't about to do that. I had to hold my shit. Then they put this crazy ass bitch, like, it was just like in the movies, in, like, whatever, the cell next to me, and she was just fucking screaming bloody murder, sounded like she was ripping her own hair out in there, like, she really did belong in psych. I started getting frustrated, I was delirious, this is a couple of days in now, I swear they hadn't fed me, I didn't remember the TV dinner until later that they gave me, but I'm pretty sure that's all I had at this point, no water. I start screaming. I'm like, I just want a fucking cheeseburger. Like, I'm crying. I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. I was just angry screaming. Finally, they fucking let me out. They give me this, like, mush. I swear to God, it was supposed to be, like, tacos. It was, like, mush and, like, a lemon packet you're supposed to add to your water. That shit was nasty. Didn't eat any of it. Didn't touch it. I was like, I would rather just starve to death. They're taking, like, my photos before I leave. And this fat-ass fucking cop, oh my God, sitting at the desk, rolls around in his chair with a burger. And he was like, I heard you were really craving a cheeseburger. You know what? This is why fucking people don't like cops. Fuck you, bro. I was so pissed off. Whatever. My mom got me out, bailed me out. She was not happy. Boy, oh boy, was she not happy. Then literally a week later, I was like, you know, the week after, I was like, fuck Xanax. Like, that shit's wild. I still feel like I was still so numb. I just had no brain cells left that a week later, I was at my coworker's house. And these were like fake fucking bars. So they were just like cheap shit you couldn't crush. And what am I talking about? Was it bars? I don't remember. Some fucking pill on the table, right? I'm pretty sure it was Xanax. I'm trying to fucking crush it. It's not breaking. I grabbed this grinder, like, out of full rage. Like, I'm fucking raging. And I just start aggressively, like, slamming this grinder on top of this pill, trying to fucking crush it. And I had this moment of awareness, like this brief, like I finally realized what I've been doing to myself all this time. Like I had been like on sleep mode, like a robot or something. And someone finally activated me. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Why the fuck am I like fiending over a fucking shitty pill, crushing this up in some creepy ass coworker's house? Like, what am I doing here? What am I doing with my life? Like, it was so weird. I don't know how else to describe gaining consciousness all of a sudden, but I just did, like, bam, like, so quick. And I, like, fucking stood up so quick, snorted the line, left out of the house, went in my car, and I was just driving home, like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I like this? Like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I was so aware. That was not the last time I did Xanax. I did stop for 3 months. But then I got into a little accident later, which I'm going to go over a different time. But that will have been the last time that I ended up doing anything drug related besides smoking weed. Yeah. So, I hope this was a little entertaining. I hope you got something out of it. You need to admit that you're powerless over the things in life that we just don't have any control over anything except our reaction. Repressing our emotions only holds us back from being our best selves and from understanding and accepting ourselves and all of our uniqueness. And being open to all the wonderful opportunities that the universe is trying to give us. And that we are powerful manifestors, that we can have anything we want. It's just when we ask for it, we need to be prepared to receive it. And don't do Xanax. Have a good night, morning, whenever you're listening to this. Thank you for listening to me. Share this fucking podcast. Like it on Spotify because it makes me feel good when I see people liking it and I have like a 5-star rating. No big deal. I'm not bragging or anything. Peace out.